Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So my in-laws just called to let us know they're on their way over and we're out of food. Great. Luckily, Instacart helps me get groceries delivered in as fast as an hour. Plenty of time to cook an in-law-worthy meal. Now, what to make? Chicken parm. Perfect. Download the Instacart app or visit instacart.com to get $10 off your first order using the code PREPARED10. Now the only thing to worry about is dinner conversation. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $35. Delivery subject to availability. Additional terms apply.
Hello, dear listeners. This is a very special episode, which is just our chat with Maestro Harrell, who plays Randy. Such an awesome name as well.
It is.
Yeah.
It's probably short for Randolph, isn't it? Which is also an awesome name.
Yeah. I mean, it's just win-win for Maestro.
Either way, it's fantastic. Yeah, basically, guys, when you hear the voices interjected into our regular season, regular episodes, it's part of a longer conversation. What we want to do is show you some of the full-length conversations. So this is the full-length conversation we spoke to Randy about what he's up to now and what he was up to and how he got involved in The Wire, which, as you all know, is the best TV show ever. Well, thank you very much for joining us. The first thing we'd like to ask the guys that have been on the show, whether they've been cast or crew or in production, is, well, Maestro, how did you get involved in The Wire in the first place?
How did I get involved in The Wire in the first place? Well, it all started with an audition. So I was living in Atlanta because, you know, I do music as well. And I was like, at the time I was signed Virgin Records and Jermaine Dupri or whatever. So I was like down there doing my whole thing. And then basically I was like being bad and shit and got sent back home.
That's Chicago, right?
Yeah, back to Chicago. Because I was living with Jermaine and Janet for like 2 years before that. And so then, you know, like that lifestyle and then coming back home and was like, oh, right. Like life is normal. So I had always been acting. Like my acting career started. That was one thing about my career in general. I started acting when I was like 2-3 years old, like with commercials and stuff. And my that's why my parents named me Maestro. It was like all with music, acting, entertainment was the plan. And then, you know, I had like some big commercials, like Be Like Mike ad with Gatorade, had my own TV show when I was 8 called Guys Like Us. It came on in between like Moesha and Malcolm and Eddie. Like, you know what I mean? So like real 90s era type stuff. And then I hadn't done television in a while. Like I did theater. I did The Lion King at the Cadillac Palace here, played young Simba. Just, you know, always was working Ali, Barbershop. Like I had done stuff, but really I hadn't once I had left and done music for a while, then when I came back home, I was like, all right, well, back to the audition grind, I guess. And so then I got an audition for The Wire and I went in and the first is, it was Ted and Pascal. That was the name of the casting office. But basically I went in and they read me first for Michael.
Right.
Yeah. That was the first character they read me for. And they liked me and they were like, well, we want to bring him back and we want to read him for this other role. And I had worked with this casting office a lot. Like they're really big in Chicago and they like had done all this stuff. They were like, yeah, we want to read him for one other role. And that was Randy.
Yeah.
And so I went in, I read for Randy, and then, you know, we got the call back, like, the producers really liked him, we want to blah, 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 we want to whatever. And so then they wanted to bring me out to Baltimore to test. And then I went out to Baltimore to test. And yeah, and that's where I first met, what's his name, Joe Chappelle. And that was the first time I met Ed Burns, you know, yeah. And David Simon, all those guys. And they were all in the room just watching. And yeah, and I did the test. And when I went to test, it was at the, it was actually at the production office, right by the harbor in Baltimore. And then Julito was the other person who was there at the time. Nice. And I remember seeing him, ponytail, the whole deal. And I remember thinking, damn, his character is way cooler than mine. maybe I could be that guy. Cause he's like, he's the cool one. You know what I mean? It's so funny. Cause that's another thing a lot of people don't realize. We got the scripts one at a time.
Right. So you didn't know what the arc was. You just saw Randy lives with Miss Anna.
Exactly. Yeah. Like all we knew was, you know, he's a foster child. He's blah, blah. And what happened in that episode, first episode. So that's why I felt like a lot of the performances were so real.
Yeah.
Cause we had no clue. Like I said, we're walking in like until there's okay to have spoilers, right?
Of course. Yeah.
You're going to chop it up. Right. Until Naaman's getting slapped up by Kennard, like I ain't know. You know what I mean? So then you're like, oh, okay. I guess that's, you know, that's a whole different story. Like, but that's what I loved about it. Like I read for Michael first. I didn't know where Michael was headed. You know, It's like, that was the coolest part about the whole situation. Like you had no clue where you were headed. And that's what made you acted every scene. And it was dope too. Like that first episode, this is the first time we really kicked it.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've watched the show like 5 times now, maybe more, all the way through.
Nice.
One of the things we get from the cast, I guess, particularly the guys that died and passed away or got shot or killed in the show, is that they didn't know until they saw the script.
Literally.
And one of the production guys, a guy called Damon, who I'm quite good friends with now after doing this podcast for a few years.
Right.
He was saying that DeAndre was talking about buying a new car. Larry Gillard was talking about buying a new car. And DeAndre was like, I don't know, man. They've focused on you quite a lot in the past 2 episodes. I'd just be like,
you might want to chill out, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
That's rough. See, and that's the thing about this show. Like I said, that's why all the performances and everything hit so real, because at the end of the day, like, you didn't know, like even Idris didn't know, like when they got strength, like they didn't know, like so it's, it's definitely, like I said, it's one of the few shows that I feel that is why you get the performances you do though, because that's how they ran the show. It didn't matter how, you know, who you were or what other than maybe a Dominic West, no one probably really knew what was going to happen next, but that's fine, because that allows you to just be in the moment and do what you're supposed to be doing at the time. Like, we wouldn't act the way we're acting right now if we knew what was going to happen in 2 months.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's talk about our first episode of the Boys of Summer episode. Mm-hmm. You said you and Julito and Jermaine, all the guys together. You know how much time do you guys just get to spend with each other before shooting and to go live, basically?
Before shooting, it was a little bit because we had school. So I remember, like, we were in the school trailer doing that. We either had school at the production office or we had it at like a little trailer on set. And yeah, like it was funny because it was really like high school. Like you had all the dynamics. So like me and Julito were the closest in age, so we were like inseparable.
Right.
That's
a big difference. When you're that kind of age, like 1 year's difference is like.
Exactly. Because I was a freshman and he was a sophomore.
Right.
And then Tristan was a junior, or Mac was a junior. And then Jermaine, I want to say, was going into high school that next year.
Right.
So I'm not gonna lie, I picked on Jermaine like crazy. Like I was so, now we're really good friends, but it was so funny because he always makes fun of me, like, oh, I was so rough on this kid. Cause you know, he was the youngest one. And then also I think what it was too was I had just come like off of like also being like living in Atlanta, doing all this other kind of stuff. And like, you know, I had people toughening me up because, you know, some artist stuff, like, yo, like you're acting like a lame right now. You gotta cool up. Like, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. And I would hit Jermaine with the worst comebacks, everything. But it was like, it was funny though, because just looking back, I'm like, oh, I'm such an ass. But like, now we're like, you know, we're all cool. But it was Jermaine and Tristan were really close. But yeah. I think that also came from that, like Tristan being the older one. So he was a little more like, nah, give the kid a break. You know what I mean? Type deal. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny because we all were like, it was one year or 2 years at max. But like you said, at that age, it makes a huge difference. Like, I'm legitimately a 13, 14-year-old. Jermaine's just becoming a teenager. You see what I mean? Type deal. Like, Julito's like, and also that's the other thing, even where we all came from, it was cool because, like, I come from Southside Chicago. Matt came from Staten Island, the Staten Island project, and then Julito was in Flatbush project, and so it was cool. And Jermaine grew up in Maryland, so it was one of those things where it was also cool to just see the difference in like just how the casting was like so spot on, because it was cool because these guys also come from, like, we all came from like some kind of version of that, even if it wasn't to that, obviously, that extent. But you know, we still, like, nobody really came from a place that was a picnic, you know what I mean? I'll put it that way, you know. So we still understood the, you know, the
trials and tribulations, I guess.
Yeah, the trials and tribulations and what's really going on in these kinds of areas, you know. But it was cool because when we shot, like I said, when we shot the Voice of Summer episode, like, it was dope because even when we were doing all that stuff, the in-between takes, even just the stuff like getting the pitch, grabbing the pigeons and all the kind of stuff, like, man, it really was like, you know, it's four kids over here, like, yo, we're shooting this, but it's also like, how would you really catch this? Well, you couldn't catch this. Like the same, like, thing we'd really be doing. It's like, bro, is that a homer? You don't know what a fucking homer is. Like the same, like, same idea, but just, you know, being scripted. Yeah, it was dope, man.
Right, we're gonna cut there. There is, you know, there's more to this interview, but we are leaving the full length interviews with all the cast and crew we speak to exclusively for our patrons over at patreon.com/thewirestripped. So if you want to join their ranks, tell them how, Kobe.
Yeah, go to patreon.com/thewirestripped. And the important reason is why, not how. And the reason why is because all the money that is generated by our Patreon account, where you can get other fantastic perks, other interviews, some goodies. All the money goes to the Ella Thompson Fund, which is the charity that's supported by the cast and crew and production team behind The Wire, including David Simon. Yes, he is an avid supporter of the Ella Thompson Fund.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.